Thank you for checking out Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. It really means a lot to me that you're listening to this podcast. If you listen and you like the content, then make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave a review. Please do that. And also go check me out on some of my other platforms. I have a long-running YouTube channel. I've got a blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com. If you're interested in becoming a CRA or you're interested in getting a career in this industry, go to thecraacademy.com. If you're a research site owner interested in getting more studies for your site or negotiating better contracts for your site, go to my blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com, and check it out. I offer consulting services. If you're a pharma, biotech, life sciences company, a CRO, I own a startup CRO, and we're here to help you, whatever it is you want. If you're a CRO, we can white label a lot of services for you. We have CRA coverage across the country at cost. We can do this at scale. If you're a pharma company, we are a full service CRO, and we're very confident in our pricing, and we are extremely competitive at bidding. And if you're also interested in your own digital marketing and leveraging a podcast maybe for yourself, reach out to me, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Again, thank you very much and enjoy the show. Guru Nation, welcome to...
That's a unique way to say welcome.
Random episodes from the Clinical Trials Guru.
Musings, random musings.
What did I say?
Episodes.
Oh. Whew. What a day it's been. Yes. Feeling a little froggy.
Urban Dictionary for you.
What episode are we on? What episode are we on?
262.
No. 258.
That's where we were last time.
No.
Wasn't it?
Nope.
Well, that's what I had in my mind.
We are on episode 258.
Well, it's been 253.
Of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Here's what we're going to talk about, man. You already know. We should have actually recorded this an hour ago. Because the caffeine's starting to wear off. You know, I need another pick-me-up.
Or 2 hours ago, we're actually having this conversation.
2 hours ago, I had a conversation with yet another patient recruitment vendor.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the title of this episode is... what did I say it was going to be? Because it summarizes well what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't think that's a proper title, though. You texted it to me. But is that really what you want to title it?
I don't know.
Let me find what you texted. Why recruitment is hard
and why so many are delusional.
Yeah, I guess it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's actually very good. So why? Can you answer?
Why what? Why is recruitment hard or why
yes,
are people
let's go.
Delusional?
There's two questions.
Right.
So the first one is, why is recruitment so hard? And why are so many people experienced, inexperienced, delusional,
for some,
ourselves included sometimes.
For some it's not hard though.
Explain.
I would say for most it is. Well, because if you get the right study, I mean this is true probably for everybody, if you get the right study, and the right study would be something that your site easily can do, as well as easily can get patients for it, right? Plenty of studies out there like that for all people participating in research. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, those studies are few and far between, it seems to me.
Right.
I mean, some sites may be better situated, where there's a significantly higher number, a larger number of those type of studies for them. But I would think for most sites, that's not the case. So 20%, if you're lucky, of the studies you take on, you could just, you know, blow up, right?
Right.
Be a top enroller. But the rest, 80% of the time, it's difficult. It's difficult to get the patients. I think that's a relatively fair analysis. Might not even be that high, 20%. Might even be less, 10%.
So, there's a lot of dynamics in recruitment that many people think they understand, but they don't.
Sure, they just think running an ad will produce.
Let's talk, like, for example, the person we discussed yesterday, right? This was someone that was a CRA for many years, is now a patient recruiter, or has an agency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Looking at getting into a patient recruitment.
So they understand the research.
Well, they do actually do patient recruitment, right? More conversation. They do patient recruitment for practicing physicians.
Right. This person runs a digital agency that helps physicians get patients to their private practice.
Correct.
Nothing to do with the research.
Correct.
They're thinking that they can replicate what they currently do.
So in their own words, it's almost the exact same thing.
It's the exact same process,
right.
She said.
Right.
Which is not true.
Right.
There's a huge hole in that thesis. And that hole is these patients don't know what research is.
Well, it's more than just that, though.
When you're recruiting patients for a doctor to join their private practice,
it can be anybody.
You don't need to explain to a patient what a doctor is.
Right.
And you don't need to explain the relationship between the doctor and the patient.
And the patient can be anybody.
Right. There's no inclusion-exclusion criteria,
exactly.
Except do you have the right insurance? Yeah. Basically, that's it.
Right. Or can you cash pay enough?
Or, yeah. In research, you've got some educating to do. I think this is where we get to the juicy part.
The nitty-gritty.
Yes. The education.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same exact process, and I didn't want to cut her off. I did plenty of that today with somebody else.
Yeah, which the other somebody's were...
We're going to get into, actually, that
sure.
one. That one's good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not that this one isn't, but they're off. They're
right.
They're idealistic.
Mm.
You have to educate the patients.
Maybe a little delusional.
Okay, part of the title. Right? There's a whole... like. Again, I get that you have a digital agency and you help physicians get patients to their private practice. That's really good. That's a service that people will pay for.
Absolutely.
To say that you can do this for research just because you're successful in that is delusional. Because how are you going to educate them about research?
Mm-hmm.
You have no strategy for that. Yep. The way they were doing it was giving people offers and incentives to join some kind of a survey. And then they're getting the leads for the doctors.
Right.
You can't do that in research.
Right.
You can get leads, but at some point, somebody's got to discuss, have a one-on-one with this patient, and say, this is what clinical research is. No, you're not going to be a guinea pig. Like, all the same objections that keep coming.
Sure.
No, you're not going to die in the study, or maybe you will. These conversations have to come up, and that does not...
You're still missing out on one layer there.
What's that layer?
You
there's a lot,
to,
yeah.
You still need to have the inclusion-exclusion criteria for the given trial. Do you qualify?
That's,
even once you get them to be interested.
Even after you educate them and they understand what research is, then they're like, okay, I'm interested, Chris. All right, where do I sign up? Well,
yeah.
Wait a minute, Dan.
Slow down. Slow your horses.
Slow down, Dan. Now we got to see if you can fit with the inclusion-exclusion criteria.
Yep.
Oh, what's that? I thought it was the same thing as going to see my doctor down the street.
Right.
No, it's not.
Right.
Yeah, that doctor. Yeah, there's no inclusion exclusion there other than do you have insurance? Can you pay for it?
That's your qualification. Here, there's all kinds of qualifying
matters. So it is extremely delusional to think that that same process applies to research. Research is a very unique.
Yep, would agree.
It's a gigantic beast that is a multi-billion dollar beast.
Yeah, if you can tame it.
Ah, tame it?
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings
beast.
Us to... That's right. And by the way, we're not singling out this person.
No.
This is just indicative of maybe weekly conversations we have with somebody.
No, we had a conversation today. The same,
sure.
Same, not exactly the same problems, but problems there as well.
Yes. We're going to get into them next, but we get this like once a week. Hey, Dan, you know, I want to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get patients for your studies.
Yep.
And there's different variations of this, but it's always, I have a perfect system.
Mm-hmm.
We have a process in place. And then I ask them, how does it work? Well, you see, we send them to a squeeze page and then we get their email. And then I'm like, all right, but who talks to them and educates them about research? Oh, well, we have a website. Yeah, yeah. Who talks to them about research? And even further, like you said. Who then looks at the inclusion-exclusion criteria?
Right.
Is it the site? Do you think the coordinator here, where we're sitting, is going to do that?
Once in a while, but
well,
surely not all the time.
Every day.
Yeah, no.
For this to work, it needs to be every day.
Right. Every time they get a call or a lead.
So you think sites are going to do this?
No. No.
People are delusional out there. Delusional. Even people that have worked in the industry for years, like this person yesterday.
Right.
Out of their minds if they think that's going to work.
Yeah.
Right? Did they ever get back to you?
No.
Yeah. Do you think they will?
Well, I actually think I was supposed to email her, which I will.
Okay. I mean, we'd give her a chance, but we're not paying for it.
Exactly.
Okay. The next one we talked to today. We didn't have to wait long.
Yeah.
The very next day, we had another call from someone.
Yep.
They're a tech company, right? They work with a huge vendor in the industry, and they're getting screwed by that vendor. Basically, that vendor has contracts with Pfizer, J&J, all the big pharma for patient recruitment. They're a big name. They start with an A, and it rhymes with accordion.
You better be careful.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wouldn't do
bleep that out?
Yes.
Accordion.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
They're a musical instrument, Chris.
Yeah, but you can't.
Have you learned how to play the accordion?
No, but
I want to take a lesson.
My grandparents actually had one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's talk about accordions for a while so we don't get sued. What do you like about these instruments? Did you know I secretly wanted to learn how to play the accordion?
Like being serious?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I like that banda music from Mexico, and there's always an accordion guy playing it, and I think that's the coolest thing. Yeah. When I have time, I'll learn how to do that and how to cook.
Yeah, I guess it's like me. I kind of like bagpipes. I wouldn't want to learn them, but I like listening to them.
Yeah. So anyways, these big companies, there's a lot of big patient recruitment vendors. Right. They get the big contracts with Pfizer, J&J, and then I didn't know until today, but they subcontract it to all these Joe Schmoes that you've never heard of that have the technological capabilities.
But this is a large Joe Schmo.
A large Joe Schmo, but no one knows about them in the industry.
Sure.
Right?
They're white labeling everybody.
They're white labeling. Can you explain the conversation we had today just a little bit for Guru Nation out there?
Well, from what I understand from the conversation, they're somewhat new to research, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And
their only experience is working with these big vendors.
Right.
That kind of screw them over.
Right. Well, they just want warm leads, live bodies. Well, I don't even know if there's a warm... Well, they're warm leads. I just don't know if they're good warm leads, right?
We've worked with many of these vendors.
Right.
And they're not the greatest.
And what they want is they just want them to bring them live bodies. And so the individuals we spoke with today... Mm-hmm. Are spending seven figures in terms of advertising each month?
Yeah, spending $1 million a month on ad spend.
Right.
For these big nationwide studies.
Right.
And now they're trying to...
Well, I think that was everything they do, right? I don't know what that means for research.
Right.
It's the way I understood that.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe, I don't know, half, maybe sure. all. I don't know how sure. much they're spending on research.
I do want to visit their offices because they're right by Levi's Stadium.
Right. So,
go Niners. Thanks for the George Kittle jersey, by the way.
You're welcome.
When I start my accordion blog,
you're going to wear the George Kittle
jersey? I'm going to wear the George Kittle jersey on every video.
Very nice. You're going to start an accordion blog.
One day.
I could probably get you that accordion.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Very hard to play. I tried to play one time. They're super heavy.
I'm going
to
annoy the hell out of Dora.
It's super heavy. It probably weighs 40 pounds.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to say that's like something, some huge weight you gotta lift, but for an instrument, it's heavy.
I would love to learn how to play that.
Yeah, crazy.
But I digress.
Yeah, just slightly.
So, this vendor we talked to today, they're smart. They're like, hey, you know, we're working with these big vendors. They're basically white labeling our services. It's kind of like what you and I were doing with DSCS CRO.
Yep.
We're a small CRO. We were, and thankfully we never did this. Well, we're actually kind of are getting white labeled right now
The project. Not kind of, we are.
We are getting white. We're in the same boat as this patient recruitment vendor with our own CRO.
But
they hired us to do everything, but then their brand name is on everything.
Yeah, but I think the difference between the two is I think we're getting compensated a little bit more fairly, probably.
Yes. Yes, we are. And we know the bed that we made it, and we're sleeping in it.
Right.
Right? These guys...
Had no clue.
They had no idea. Like, when we told them the numbers, they're like, wow, that's... significantly less than what we're getting.
Not getting anywhere near that.
Yeah, you told them what these big patient recruitment vendors charge.
Right.
The pharmas.
Yeah.
And if you're going to recruit for sites, the business model for you is going to be totally different. You're going from a nationwide study where you're recruiting no matter where the patients are located, there's a site nearby. Versus for a site, it's in like San Bernardino.
Yeah.
In Costa Mesa.
Yeah, very limited.
We might take all the way from Long Beach, but no farther than that. Right. You know? And it's very different. And it's low volume.
Yep.
Right?
It only handles so many.
So that's another dynamic of this whole thing is, first of all, getting the patients is hard. If you're a patient recruiter, your product is the patients. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. Now, let's say somehow you figure that out. You can get patients. Making money off of those patients is hard.
Yeah, you get the sites to see them.
Yes, because you're not going to make money with the sponsors right away. They need to know who you are before they work with you. So you have to resort to working either individually with sites, one-on-one, where you're not going to get paid a lot. We'll break it down right now. Or white label yourself to one of the big firms. And then just get like 10% of what they get 90% of.
Well, or thirdly, you make the connections directly with the sponsors.
If you can.
Yeah, that's the difficult. Or that's fourth, probably most difficult.
You reach out to Dan or Chris. Chris at brkthru.org.
Yes, thank you, Dan.
Email Chris, say, I want to recruit patients for you.
Uh-huh.
So how much would a site pay for a patient lead? How much should a site pay for a patient lead? Let's break it down.
Just a screening or a randomization?
Both. Let's go with both. This is a podcast. There is no limit to this episode length. Well, other than we got to go to Costco.
Sure.
I owe you a hot dog.
Okay. So,
don't know why, but I do.
Yeah, I don't know either why. But anyhow, I mean, that varies from site to site, right? And I think it also varies from study to study. Some studies pay more, right?
That's right.
If you're doing a phase 4 trial and it's just observational, you're probably getting $300 a patient visit or something in that realm. How much do you want to pay for that patient?
Right. Like
zero for screening, maybe $100 if they randomize.
That's right. And that's, we had this conversation with the vendor today.
Right.
And he was kind of amazed at how low we're paying. And I said, hey, sites are going to do.
He had a misunderstanding, though. He was treating us as though we were a sponsor.
Yeah.
Opposed to a site.
We are getting there. We're going to be one day.
I don't think he really understood until we explained it to him, the difference.
Right. I told him the closest we are right now is like a CRO. We're going to be a sponsor at some point, right. But right now we're the CRO. But we're interested in proof of concept from a site perspective. So mm-hmm. Let's start with that. And they sent us a contract, $200 per screening. But mm-hmm. Whatever. If they're going to screen, hopefully they're going to randomize.
Yeah, just do a much better job pre-screening.
Yeah, yeah. You have to read the fine print of the contract.
Right.
Because that might be every lead they send you, that wouldn't be good.
No, they have to sign consent.
That's right. So that's why I forwarded you that contract.
Right.
Chris is the more cerebral business partner. IQ 140?
No, 132. But
really? What was mine?
122, I think. I think it was exactly 10 less.
Dang.
9 or 10, 122 or
130. I thought you were 140 and I was 130.
No.
Hmm.
120s and 130s.
Wow. Yeah, man. So as the more cerebral partner, you got to read this contract.
But you still haven't taken a full IQ test. That was just one portion of an IQ test.
Oh, okay. I'm probably just slightly above average, honestly.
No, I think you took the hardest part for you.
Yeah?
I took the easiest part for me.
You cheater. You cheater. All right.
Well, that's what I had access to.
Oh.
The IQ test was based on logic and math.
Your strengths.
Yes. Not verbal acuity and things of that nature, which I'm just average at those things, typically.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which you're probably above average at
those
things.
Well, so far, your IQ's higher, so right. You get to read these
from
contracts.
From what we know.
Your prize is you get to win these contracts. Or right. You get to read these contracts.
Right.
Okay.
Great prize.
So, I guess, what's the bottom line for people? Like, right now we've got sponsors listening, CROs, patient recruitment vendors listening, and we love you guys. We think your business models are fantastic.
Sure.
The patient recruitment vendors, especially the big ones that rhyme with musical instruments. I mean, you guys are great, but, you know, you make a lot of money. But what... what is the take-home message? There's sites listening. You know our buddy Rod Raphael in Indianapolis? He lost his really good... I actually sent two of our students to him to intern, and he's going to take them on. He lost a really good recruiter of his. She retired. And they were relying on her for a lot of their recruitment. So he was like, hey, man, you know, if you find one of these vendors like that are good, let me know too. I was like, yeah, I'm actually interviewing one today, every week, but we're going to do a podcast on this also.
And I brought this up earlier. There was one that a lot of people have given praise to. You can actually CRA at one of their sites.
Steady Kick?
Yes, there you go.
You know, we've only used them once at one of our sites.
Used them once here.
And?
Nothing. We got nothing.
Not even leads?
Yeah, but we used... they have like three price points, and we took the bottom.
Yeah.
The least. And produced nothing.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, it's tough, man. And this is goes back to the title. Why recruitment is tough and why people are so delusional.
Sure. And it is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're strictly reliant upon ads.
And here's... I guess this is a great place to end. Patient recruitment is so difficult. The only recruiters that make good money... 20 minutes.
Yeah, I was just thinking we really haven't touched on delusional, but go on.
Well, we have. It's just integrated into the whole thing. And we were delusional too. We still are. I think we're going to sell 300,000 books a month.
300,000?
What did I say?
You said 3,600, now it's 300,000.
Wow, if we did 300,000, Chris, like, I don't know. Like, you better owe me something for that.
I would just retire, that's what you get.
I wouldn't retire. No, we're not going to retire, Chris.
300,000 a month? Yeah, retire.
I'd still be doing this stuff.
Yeah, I would too, just because I wouldn't want to get lazy. But
that's right. That's right.
I surely wouldn't see you as often.
I would.
I would be around, I guess I could come on Tuesdays, I think. I think I'd come once a week.
All right, I'd still come. Deal.
Yeah.
Deal. We got it. We can't let down Guru Nation.
Man. Sure.
Okay, so back to what I was saying. Recruitment is so hard. The only people making good money, like really good money, and I got one more place I want to go with this too. The only people making really good money in this space are making money from the sponsors.
Oh, that's without a doubt.
And that... isn't that should tell you a lot about the inefficiencies in this industry.
But
because they're taking, because the sponsors have, they have, they're forced to spend money on recruitment.
Sure.
And there's only a few concentrated key players, and then they take all the money and then they outsource to all these people that we talk to, and then it just trickles up to them.
Sure.
Right?
I would say with the exception probably of Study Kick, though, because you've mentioned them at a few different sites that it works for.
It works for, but they get their money too. They're big, the majority of their revenue comes from the sponsors.
But they seem to also work well with sites.
So far, they're the most site-friendly model vendor we've had, where we've used.
That I know of.
Yeah. We know one of the people who came up with the whole business
model. Yeah, we were just talking to them not too long ago.
January.
Yeah.
What happened?
You know what happened. I'm not going into that.
I just remembered it rained.
Yeah, not in a good way.
Oh, yes. We won't get into that.
Oh, now you recall.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, not to depress people. Recruitment's hard. It's never going to be easy. Just get over it. If you're a site, figure it out.
Right.
I mean, nobody has an answer. If you're a vendor, keep pushing. Our goal with the Clinical Scoop is to actually get good at recruiting through creating content on different verticals, like Alzheimer's Talk. Alzheimer's Talk is making a comeback. We're going to re-release every episode we've done.
Yeah, yeah. With the
and they're going to write articles on
with
it.
With the scoop.
Yep. One every month.
More, has a little bit better dedication to the service.
Yes, once every 2 weeks. But that's just Alzheimer's, and that's small. Like, you need to... get really vertical with each indication. But anyways, where there's problems, there is an arbitrage, and there is opportunities.
Oh, absolutely.
I tell people all the time, people that want to be coordinators, people that eventually want to be CRAs.
Mm-hmm. Start as a recruiter.
Dan, I want to intern at a site, but no one's taking me. Well, yeah, no shit. No one's going to take you because you have nothing to offer. They're not babysitting.
Yeah, they don't want to take on the extra work of training you.
That's right. So why don't you learn how to recruit patients? It's not hard.
Yeah.
Figure out what studies they do. Go out in the community and get patients. Post ads on Craigslist and get patients. Go to support groups and get patients. Go on Facebook and get patients.
Mm-hmm.
Pretend like you're a patient and join a patient group on Facebook.
Yep.
I know someone who does that. She's at our other clinic, not Monica.
Well, I know the other female there.
There you go. Figure that out. And then recruit. That's your Trojan horse to get into a clinic.
Okay.
There's opportunities. If the patient recruitment problem were solved, that'd be good because obviously it'd be good for everybody because it would be shorter. Clinical trials would be cheaper, quicker, more. We can do more. But that's very idealistic. It's never going to happen. So because of these inefficiencies, that leaves room for opportunities for everybody. Research naive people. Recruitment vendors.
So see,
you see where I'm going?
I do, but if the patient recruitment aspect were solved, so in other words, you could handle it from a central location for all sites in the country.
Virtual trials.
Well, not virtual trials.
But, I do smell.
Well, sure, it could lead to that, but I'm just saying, I think it would actually make the industry more difficult to get into, because why would you need a research naive site? Well, you could take experienced sites who have problems in this indication.
That's right.
You're good at gathering data. Here, we'll get you the patients. So
what you're trying to say is everyone who is trying to break into this industry should be grateful that patient recruitment's a problem.
Yeah. Because if you can offer patients
to them... Thank you for sharing that. Say it again. It bears repeating.
Sure. If you're research naive, what you have to offer to a sponsor is your patients. If you can demonstrate to the sponsor... if you can demonstrate to the sponsor that you can get these patients for the study... Never mind the fact that I have no experience in this industry outside of I have these patients in my practice as a physician. Yeah, that's all you need to offer.
And take the same thing you just said and replace site with a research naive site with a research naive individual that wants to work at a site.
Mm-hmm.
If you can prove to them that you can get patients,
you can
get your foot in the door.
Exact same thing applies.
Same concept.
It's exact same concept. Unlike what... these recruiters we talk to, you know, they have different problems. This is exactly the same.
They have business problems.
Right.
They got to figure out the arbitrage.
Right. Where it's all about the patients. I mean, there's two things you need in research, right? You need a study.
Yes.
I'm talking at site level or whatever less, or a worker at the site. You need a study and you need patients.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
We need to sell a shitload of books.
Yeah, maybe.
The Comprehensive Guide to Clinical Research. Is that the title? The Comprehensive Guide to Clinical Research.
Yes.
It's got the red and blue clippers. Yeah. Clippers colors. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either. Till Dora told me.
That's funny. You didn't intentionally pick that up?
No. Huh. I got it from Robert Greene because I love his books. And his book I'm currently reading.
But it's not red and blue.
It's red and blue.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
The Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene. I'm reading it now. The cover is red and blue. But it's a circle and a blue thing. And I was like, you know what? I want something like this, but mixed with this. And we got that. And it turns out to be Clippers colors. The team that I
Foresight.
Will own. The team that I will own one day.
Foresight. Maybe this book gets you there.
The book will get me there. And so will the patient recruitment multi-billion dollar arbitrage. And so will exosomes. Something's got to give,
have
man.
You told the audience the price point yet?
No, why don't you tell them?
Have we decided on the price point?
Sure.
So it's $49.99.
No, hold on. Okay, we'll get there. I wanted a hook right here first.
Oh.
Text Guru to 31996.
And what will that do?
It will get it to you for 99 cents.
Huh?
But it's only for 2 hours, and it's only the Kindle version.
That's just, okay.
Yeah, we're not printing out a book and losing money on your ass. Right?
Okay.
We're giving you a Kindle book for 99 cents. The entire book.
But we have to.
It's only going to be for 2 hours, and if you feel like it, you can write a review.
But we have to pay Amazon something of that, right? Or all of that.
Like 30 cents.
Okay.
We're not making money. We're making like 30 cents on each Kindle.
Okay.
We're paying Amazon 66 cents for the 99 cent price.
Okay, got it.
We don't care. We want the reviews.
Right.
You don't have to, but if you buy it and you write a review and you screenshot me both, for the first, I think, 20 people, we'll send them a free book.
A free physical book?
Yeah, free physical book.
Ah,
for the first 20 people, limited offer.
Yeah.
So text Guru to 31996, and now Chris is going to tell you the price
point. The most important part of that equation is they have to write a review.
Yeah, you have to put the screenshot of the review if you want the free book.
Right.
I don't care if it's one star.
I do.
Chris does, but I don't.
Well, so long as it's legitimate. I mean, if you really
give me the one star.
If you have a legitimate complaint, sure.
Bring it on. I'll do a nice video response to that person. And
sure. Just oftentimes you see those one star reviews for Amazon, and you can tell they got some sort of peeve with this company.
That's right. All right.
Like they own a company that's.
Then you'll see me real active in the comments. I can't wait till people start reviewing it so I can get real active in the comments. In a good way, even for the bad reviews.
What is it when you're competing? Your competition.
Our competition.
One star would mean there's competition. It would be like that other book reviewing us, right?
To give us the one star. Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll send some goons out to review our book.
One star.
It's all right. Yeah, they get it back to them.
That's what I'm talking about. One star, like, that doesn't count.
As long as they're buying it.
No, it needs to be legitimate one star. You need to have a
sure.
critical reason.
Well, please stop confusing the people.
Okay.
Tell them we just confused the hell out of them. Text Guru to 31996. I think that's the right number. You're going to get notified as soon as the book's released. And for like 2 hours or however long I remember to keep it up for 99 cents. And then it's going to the regular price, which is...
I don't know if you've decided on the
Kindle. Yeah, what you said is good.
On the Kindle.
So
it's $49.99 for the print, $49.99 for the audio, but the Kindle, is that $54.99?
Yeah, the Kindle's going to be more expensive than both.
Right, like because what's the price though?
Because we don't want people to get that one.
Really. Right, $54.99.
Whatever you want.
I think that's good. You have to pay a premium.
Make it $5,000.
No, that's ridiculous.
Because Amazon,
I don't want to. I mean, some people really want a Kindle, but if you really want a Kindle, it's $5 more.
$5 more, and if you hate us for it, email me that you bought the Kindle and that you want $5 back with a good reason, and I'll Venmo you $5 back.
Oh, aren't you a softy?
I would. It has to be a good reason.
Well, they're getting the first 20 to buy a Kindle are getting it for 99 cents. Yeah, I think that's good enough.
That is more than good enough.
Yeah.
No, not the first 20. The first, whoever buys it within that 2 hours, whether it's 20 or 20,000, will get it at 99 cents.
And a free book?
No.
Or just the first 20 get a free book?
The first 20 that send me a screenshot of their review and the receipt get the physical book. But 20,000 people can buy the Kindle at 99 cents if it's all in the same time.
I don't think I don't like that offer.
They're not going to actually do that. It's going to be, I have like 52 people on my texting list right now.
52 I can handle, not all 20,000 that are possible buyers.
No. Right, but after this video goes up and on the podcast, we might have a few more.
Yeah.
It's good though.
Might have to limit that.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
All right.
If it starts getting too crazy, you know, instead of 2 hours, we'll just turn it off after 1 hour and say we're done.
After 10 minutes.
Even 10 minutes.
I think once 100 people buy it, that's plenty.
Once we need to get it to be number one in its category.
Right.
And then we're good. But yeah, 20 people will get the actual physical book too for free.
Sure.
If they write a review. All right, anything else? Patient recruitment. Anything else? Are we good?
No, I think that's good.
Okay.
We were kind of all over the place with that, so I don't know. You really have to follow along on this one.
Yeah, enjoy the podcast, folks. Take care. Talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
So, hey, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Again, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave a review, if you could be so kind, please. And also go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com if you're interested in learning more about who I am, who some of my guests are. You can have access to some of my YouTube videos. I do a lot of videos about clinical research. So go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com. And you can also call or text me anytime, 949-415-6256. Also follow me on any social media platform. It's Dan Svera. And you can also email me if you'd like, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Thank you very much.